Lawson.
First thing is approve the agenda.
Thank you, Mr. President. I do see two recommended changes to today's agenda. Under the consent agenda, items 2 and 3 can be struck.
2 and 3.
Okay, entertain a motion to approve the agenda as amended. Motion, Mr. Schaefer, second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson, questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
We have motion carried. We have the minutes of August 13th. Any questions, corrections, additions? Hearing none, they will stand approved. Respondents? Mr. Robertson.
Thank you, President. There's two items of correspondence. One is a letter from the Miss Pillion Performance Series from Jody Stein, thanking council for its generous $1,000 donation to support the Miss Pillion Performance Series. And the second letter, Autism Delaware, from Brian K. Hall, the executive director of that organization, also thanking council for its $1,000 donation to that organization.
Thank you, sir. Any response from council? Correspondence from council? Okay. Time for public comments. Has anybody signed up, Mr. Guy? Nobody? Okay. Operator, check online, please, for any public comments.
At this time, there is currently no one on the line.
We'll close public comments, go to consent agenda. As you know, taking item 2 and 3 off, so it'll be item 1, use of existing wastewater infrastructure agreement, IUA 1266, Channel Point Villas, Fenwick Island, Delaware, Fenwick area, and use of existing wastewater infrastructure agreement, IUA 1257, Justice Property, Millville area. Any questions, concerns about those two? Hearing none, entertain and approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Hudson, second.
Second.
Mr. Schaefer, questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mr. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
We have motion carries. Your report, please.
All right, thank you, Mr. President. County Administrator's report for August 27th, 2024, item 1. The Delaware State Police year-to-date activity report for July 2004 is attached, listing the number of violent crime and property crime arrests, as well as traffic charges and corresponding arrests. In addition, DUI and total vehicle crashes investigated are listed. In total, there were 190 troopers assigned to Sussex County for the month of July. Item 2, per the attached department fact sheet, Osprey Point Phase 3C construction record, substantial completion effective August 16th. Items with great sadness that we inform you that County Pensioner Ronald Ronnie passed away on Monday, August 19th. Mr. Heck began his career with County in May 2006, where he worked until May of 2015 for 9 years of service. His last position with the county was Public Tech 2. We'd like to extend our condolences to the Heck family. Item 4, it's with great sadness we inform you that Ron McCabe passed away on Thursday, August 22nd. Mr. McCabe served on the Sussex County Board of Adjustment for 27 years. We'd like to extend our condolences to the McCabe family. Item 5, Sussex County continues to mourn the loss of employee and volunteer firefighter Thomas W. Berry III, who was tragically lost August 13th while on the scene of a motor vehicle crash outside Georgetown. Mr. Berry began his career with Sussex County in 2022, logistics tech in the Emergency Medical Services Division. We'd like to condolences to the Thomas family, friends, coworkers, and first responders in this difficult time, and thank the community for their tremendous honoring in honor of Thomas and his sacrifice. Last item, a reminder, the county offices will be closed Monday, September 6th to observe Labor Day holiday. In addition, county will not meet on Tuesday, September 3rd or Tuesday, September 10th. The next regularly scheduled council meeting will be held on Tuesday, 17th at 10 a.m. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Old business.
Thank you, Mr. President. Whitehouse. Good afternoon. We have one item of old business today, ordinance number 2403 relating to residential development buffers. County Council may remember this from the public hearing that was held before County Council's meeting of June 11th of this year. And at the conclusion of the public hearing, close the public record and we've deferred action on the ordinance for further consideration. And I am going to yield to Mr. Robertson to provide an overview. So.
Thank you, Mr. Whitehouse. We have had the public hearings. Well, and before that, we had substantial discussions and commissions drafted the ordinance, had the public hearings at Planning and Zoning and at County Council. There was quite a bit of input from the public and a good bit of back and forth between both Planning and Zoning and staff and also County Council and staff. And as a result of that feedback and the input from the public and the direction from you all throughout that process, we have several proposed amendments. The thing I'd like to do is read the short title of the ordinance just to start this. I usually have Mr. Moore sitting over there that I can look to and make sure I'm doing it. So it's all me today, but we're good.
We're on the page.
Just make sure you don't pay Everett for not being here. This is an ordinance to amend Chapter 99, Articles 1, 3, 4, 5, and 6, Sections 99.99.6, 99.23, 99.26, 99.27, 99.30, 99.31, and 99.32, and by adding a new Section 99-21A, and Chapter 115, Articles 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 28, Sections 115-15-25, 115-29, 115-7, 115-45, 115-33, and 115-218 regarding perimeter buffers around the residential development.
That is 115-53. Not 33.
Did I say? Yeah, the shadow right on there. It is. It's 115-53.
He's trying to keep you out of trouble.
No, it makes me nervous when I read those because I always know that you're going to go on one of them. So we have the introduced ordinance, which has line numbers. You know, what we did, you all may have, is a version of that has the deletions highlighted in red and proposed additions that I'm going to go through highlighted in green. Because of the way we work this process, we have to refer to the numbers in the introduced ordinance, but I'm gonna explain and refer to both of them so that you can follow along. So with that, what I'd like to do is propose amendments to that. Several of these came from planning and zoning. They're recommendations of planning. Several of them came from you all or from members of the public during the public hearing. So with that, and I'll read each one, and there'll be a motion and second and a vote approve or deny that amendment. And then once we're done with those amendments, we'll back to the whole thing. So the first one, planning and zoning recommendation, and this came from input from the public, including the Salvation Coalition. It's at lines 39 to 42, which is in line 39 to 44 in the highlighted versions. The current definition of, quote, clearing or cleared, close quote, streamlined. Delete the existing definition and replace it with, quote, removal of trees and other vegetation by any means, period. Clearing or cleared does not include selectively removing dead or diseased tree invasive species, close quote. Motion.
That's the motion.
That's the motion.
Okay. Do you have a motion from somebody up here?
I'll make that motion.
Motion, Mr. Hudson. Second, Mr. Schaefer. Any questions on a motion? We'll take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yeah.
Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I'll be at motion carried. Next, sir.
The next one is that, and this one also was a planning and zoning recommendation, and it came from members of the public, and I can thank also the Sussex Preservation Coalition on this one. At line 158 or 159 in the high version, add, quote, forest inventory, close quote, before, quote, tree survey, close quote, so that it now states, quote, a forest inventory / tree survey, close quote. And that's the motion.
I'll make the motion.
Motion for a second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson, questions on the motion?
So,
Mr. Riley.
Just to be clear, they're going to do this inventory and then what?
Well, and so that was a point of clarification. The inventory occurs within the perimeter buffer. We had a tree survey, and the comment was that a tree itself wasn't clear, so we wanted to add tree inventory on that so that we knew we were asking details about the trees.
And then once we have that in, how is it utilized?
So that's utilized in the preliminary site plan, the final site plan. It would also be a reference for planning and zoning staff to go back and see if it's a basic snapshot of what exists at that time so that you could use it later to determine if any tree moved.
If anything had been disturbed that shouldn't have been.
That's right.
For the closeout, when you close out?
Yes.
So yeah. Jamie knows his staff is.
Yeah, really, it's all the way through.
2, 3, 4 years down the road.
Right.
That's good.
Any questions? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Yes.
Hudson.
Yes.
Riley.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Motion carried. Next.
This one is also a zoning recommendation, and this came from either Sussex Preservation in one of their comments or one of the individuals that spoke. There we can, and it's line 159 of the introduced ordinance or 160 of the highlighted. The ordinance is introduced, referred to ill trees. There was the point that groupings of trees be just as important as an individual tree, so we just want to add that in. So the motion is add grouping of trees or, close quote, before, quote, individual trees, close quote. Like I just said, groupings of trees may be determined to have a high habitat value in addition to individual trees. At the end of this sentence, insert the phrase, quote, within the perimeter buffer and perimeter buffer protection area, close quote, so that it is clear what trees are covered by the forest assessment. And that's the motion.
Okay, entertain a motion.
I'll make the motion.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer, second.
Second.
Mr. Riley, questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I will, yes, motion carried. Next.
Okay. The next one was a planning and zoning recommendation, and this came from a comment provided by Mr. Hutt during the planning and zoning hearing. Basically, we talked about a forest assessment, but we never talked about how you accumulate the data and what form that should be in once you do the assessment. So at line 160 of the introduced ordinance, or 163 of the highlighted version, the motion is to add a new definition of, quote, forest assessment report, close quote, as, quote, a report detailing the findings of a forest assessment prepared and certified by a licensed landscape architect, comma, certified arborist, comma, or licensed forester, or a forester designated by the Society of American Foresters as a, quote, certified forester, close quote, period, close quote. That's the motion.
Entertain a motion?
I'll make the motion.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer, question? Anyone, oh, excuse me, second?
Second.
Mr. Riley, any questions? We'll take the vote, Mr. Schaefer. Schaefer, vote?
Yes.
Mrs. Green, I'm
yes.
sorry. Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I will, yeah, motion carried. Next.
And I should point out for members of the public who are watching, and you all know this, we have to go through each of these motion by motion. It does seem tedious, but that's the legislative way that County Council has to work on this. And this was a fairly long and drawn-out process and extensive motion, so there's not any real, you know, substantial rewrites of anything, but we want to, you know, get it right, and so we have to make these changes. At the planning and zoning hearing, and I think also before County Council, there was comments also from, I think, the Sussex Preservation Coalition and maybe others in the public about adding a whereas clause or better defining the purpose of the perimeter buffer. And rather than put it in the whereas clause, we added it into the definition. So this one is at line 223 of the introduced ordinance, or 228 of the highlighted version, to add a new sentence that better defines the purpose of the perimeter buffer within its definition. So that is, quote, the perimeter buffer shall function to filter views from and into a subdivision in such a manner that improves the screening than if no landscaping was provided, period, close quote.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer, second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson, questions on a motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
All we have, motion carried. Next.
The next one is a minor change, really just wordsmithing. At line 229 of the introduced ordinance, or 236 of the highlighted version, change the word, quote, prepared, close quote, to, quote, submitted, close quote, set, so that the definition of a perimeter buffer landscape plan now states, quote, a plan submitted by developer depicting compliance with the perimeter buffer and perimeter buffer protection area, et cetera, close quote.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer, second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson, questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I will, yes, motion carried. Next.
The next one is also just a bit of clarification. The ordinance is introduced originally referred to the forest assessment report and some other items being prepared by a list of people qualified to do that. One of those folks was a certified nursery professional. When we looked into that a little bit more, that didn't quite, it wasn't clearly defined, and it didn't quite fit in with the certifications we need for our trees and buffers. At this one, at line 233 and line 550 of the introduced ordinance, which is line 240 and 575 of the highlighted version, we'd ask that you delete the reference to, quote, certified nursery professional, close quote. And that's that motion.
A motion.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer, second.
Second.
Mr. Riley, questions on a motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I will, yes, motion carried.
The next one came from public comments, and staff considered it. We talked throughout the perimeter buffer about trees. And it didn't say whether you could have shrubs within the perimeter buffer. We kind of always considered that was a given. We didn't include shrub requirements, but so that it's clear that you can have shrubs in the perimeter buffer, we've added a reference to that. So at line 308 in the introduced ordinance and 315 of the highlighted version, insert, quote, as well as shrubs, close quote, after the tree planting requirements. The number of shrubs is undefined, but this clarifies that the buffer areas are not limited to just the required trees, and other plantings can and should occur there.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer, second.
Second.
Mr. Riley, questions on a motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I'll be, yes, motion carried. Next.
The next one was also public comment and staff suggestion, and it was really just, again, wordsmithing and also implementation and looking at how trees grow and that sort of thing. So at line 311, which is 318, 311 in the introduced ordinance, 318 in the highlighted version, regarding the anticipated height of trees planted within the perimeter buffer, change the reference to, quote, obtain a minimum height of 10 feet, close quote, to, quote, shall be a species that typically achieves a height of at least 10 feet, et cetera, close quote.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer, second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson, questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next.
The next one has to do with the planning design, literally where the trees will get planted within the buffer area. We saw photographs from the public. Staff reviewed photographs, and we wanted better clarification that the trees need to be planted throughout the 30-foot width of the buffer area, not just in a line, you know, down one side of it. So at line 311 of the introduced ordinance and 320 of the highlighted version, the motion is there should be more clarity in the code that new vegetation needs to be planted throughout the buffer area and not just within 10 feet of the 30-foot width of it. It always requires staggering, but we have seen developments try to manipulate this requirement. To further clarify this, add a new phrase, quote, throughout the entire width of the perimeter buffer, close quote, into the existing sentence so that it now states that the trees shall be, quote, arranged in a staggered and natural manner throughout the entire width of the perimeter buffer to effectively achieve a visual landscape screening which will filter views from and into the subdivision, close quote. That's that motion.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer, second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson, questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next.
The next one is just a minor clarification. In the introduced ordinance at line 332 and 335, or 341 and 344 of the highlighted version, change the reference from forest assessment to, quote, forest assessment report, close quote. It just fixes that. That's the motion.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer, second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson, questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next.
All right. The next one just relates back to a prior one. It essentially moves some of the listing of people who are qualified to prepare the forest assessment and forest assessment report. So at lines 332 through 335 of the introduced ordinance, or 341 through 344 of the highlighted version, the motion is to delete the phrase, quote, prepared and certified by a licensed landscape architect, comma, certified arborist, comma, certified nursery professional, comma, or licensed forester or forester designated by the Society of American Foresters as a, quote, certified forester, close quote. This phrase becomes unnecessary since it will be now included within the definition of forest assessment report. Again, it's just moving it from one place to another. So that's that motion.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer, second.
Second.
Mr. Riley, questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next.
Okay. We are gaining on it, I assure you. The next one came from comments from the Center for the Inland Bays, and it's line 352 of the introduced version or line 361 of the highlighted version. The Center for the Inland Bays wanted to be clear that invasive species should not be introduced into the buffer areas and that invasive species can be removed from the buffer areas. To accomplish this, the motion is to relocate the sentence, quote, removal of any invasive species from the woodlands is permitted, close quote, to a new item 12 at the end of the current list so that there is a new section 99-21A period B period 12 that states, quote, 12 period, removal of any invasive species from the perimeter buffer or perimeter buffer protection area is permitted, period, close quote. For that same reason, insert, quote, and then parentheses, with the exception of the removal of invasive species, close parentheses, close quote, after, quote, perimeter buffer protection area at line 360 of the introduced ordinance, so that it is clear that the removal of invasive species can occur even though no other disturbance is allowed. And for the same reason, at line 463 of the introduced ordinance, add the term, quote, non-invasive, close quote, before the reference to, quote, ornamental grasses and or trees, close quote, in the language that allows design flexibility along the road frontage. Again, that was a request just so we knew what kind of species, whether they're invasive or non-invasive, allowing the removal of non-invasive and prohibiting the installation of invasive species. So with that, that's the motion to amend those three spots.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer, second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson, questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next.
The next one was also a comment or a question, I guess, about what disturbance could occur where. And there was a concern that disturbance could occur in the perimeter buffer protection area. The way it was worded, the prohibition against that was elsewhere in the code, but we've suggested a change. So at line 362 through 363 of the introduced ordinance, and 372 through 373 of the highlighted version, insert, quote, or the perimeter buffer protection area, close quote, after, quote, perimeter buffer, close quote, in the existing sentence. This makes it clear that no disturbance can occur in either the buffer area or the protection area. Also, add a new sentence at the end of this section, quote, permitted stump removal shall only occur by stump grinding that does not disturb the surrounding areas or vegetation, period, close quote. Stump removal, that would occur if you're removing dead trees. You can't, and this was Mr. Mears' concern at Planning and Zoning. He didn't want, he wanted it clear that you couldn't go in and just grub it out, you know, with a backhoe or whatever. That had to be stump grinding so it didn't disturb the surrounding area. So that's that motion.
Motion, Mr. Shaver, second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson, questions on the motion? Mr. Riley.
I do want to be clear. The buffer protection area will essentially remain in a natural state.
That's correct, right, that's correct.
Unless it's already cleared because it's a farm field.
Yeah, right. So there isn't a protection area if it's cleared to the edge and there's not existing trees. Only when there's existing trees would there be the perimeter buffer protection area. Right. But it's a non-disturbance area within that protection area. But at the same time, there, you know, when we talked about this, they essentially become sacrificial trees for the 30 feet in the, yeah, in the actual buffer area.
So know, those trees may be at risk, but they're protecting the,
right,
the 30-foot,
right,
buffer.
Right. So that's correct.
Any more questions? We'll take the vote. Mr. Shaver.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next.
This one is at line 380 through 381 of the introduced ordinance, or 392 through 394 of the highlighted version. This was referenced during the council hearing, and staff agrees that the clarification is appropriate. The motion is, if the buffer areas are cleared during the five-year look-back period, the replanting requirements should be more clear to confirm that in addition to the greater tree density that is required, they still must conform to the percentages and sizes at the time of planting. The existing sentence at Part E that currently states, quote, the planted perimeter buffer and new woodlands shall meet the tree and shrub requirements of this chapter should be replaced with a new one that states, quote, the planted perimeter buffer and new woodlands shall comply with the sizes and percentages required by Section 99-21A, A2, and 3, close quote.
Motion, Mr. Shaver, second. Mr.
Second.
Hudson, questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Shaver.
Yes.
Mr. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I will yes. Motion carried. Next.
The next one was a change that came from Planning and Zoning, and I think this was a comment that came from during the hearing at the Planning and Zoning level. And it was just at line 386 of the introduced ordinance, or 399 of the highlighted version, replaced the reference to the Planning and Zoning Commission, close quote, as the entity reviewing the replacement plantings after a timber harvest to, quote, the director, close quote. Just the Planning and Zoning Commission felt like the director and staff were in a better position because they're going to be doing plan reviews and site inspections to make those determinations. So that's that motion.
Okay. Motion.
Yes.
Mr. Shaver, second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson, questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Shaver.
Yes.
Mr. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next.
The next one is from the Center for Inland Bays. At line 414 of the introduced ordinance, or 429 of the highlighted version, the Center for Inland Bays, the way it was introduced, it talked about topsoil or grass as the ground covering. The Center for Inland Bays suggested in addition to topsoil or grass as the ground covering within the buffer, quote, or wildflowers, close quote, should also be permitted. So insert the word, quote, wildflowers, close quote, after, quote, suitable grass mix, close quote, in this sentence. Just expands what you can have on the ground covering.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Shaver, second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson, questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Shaver.
Yes.
Mr. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I'll be yes. Motion carried.
Next one's a clarification at line 422 of the introduced version, or 437 of the highlighted version. Replace the reference to, quote, woodlands, close quote, with, quote, perimeter buffer and perimeter buffer protection area, close quote. Again, this just corrects the terms that should be used. That's that motion.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Shaver, second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson, questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Shaver?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Mr. Robertson, did we skip over on the what we got in front of us, number 414? Removal of any invasive species from the woodlands is permitted. Did we already do that, or I missed that?
No, that was 414, and we just did 422. So I think we're good.
Okay, we're good.
The next one is on the introduced version, line 451 or 467 of the highlighted version. This one came from Planning and Zoning's recommendation, and there was also input about it from the Preservation Coalition and the public. The motion is for consistency with other parts of the ordinance, delete the phrase, quote, "for any trees, shrubs, or existing woodlands," close quote, and add language confirming the duration of the developer's guarantee so that the note required to guarantee the full cost of replacement now states, and this has to do with the site plans, quote, F in parentheses, "a note confirming that a developer guarantees the full cost of replacement of the perimeter buffer for 2 years after the determination of substantial completion in accordance with section 99-39, close quote.
Motion, Mr. Shaver, second. Mr. Hudson.
Second.
Question on the motion. We'll take the vote, Mr. Shaver.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Hudson.
Yes.
Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next.
So this one and one that follows came about because we saw examples, and we've seen examples, I think all of us individually, about alternatives to buffers along road frontages. So this one at line 462 of the introduced ordinance, which is 479 of the highlighted version. The motion is during the council hearing, there were concerns about the types of buffer alternatives that can be used along the frontage of a development. To address this concern, delete the word, quote, "fences," close quote, and replace it with the phrase, quote, "ornamental fences that are not used as screens," close quote, and delete the word, quote, "walls," close quote. That's the motion, but, you know, we've seen examples where there's just vinyl fences that totally screen off a subdivision in lieu of a forested buffer. This makes it clear that you can put fences, but it'd be more like a split rail, you know, integrated into berms and things. So that's what that covers.
Motion, Mr. Shaver. Second, Mr. Hudson.
So you can do that plus the...
And it still requires a waiver from the Planning and Zoning Commission, so you got to come in and say this is what we're doing.
So you have the plantings plus the... fence.
Yeah, well, it gives you a little more flexibility than that.
It's not an either or, right?
It could be either or.
Could be either or.
Yeah, but only, and the next one actually talks about only along the frontage where the entrance is. Well, and you think about it, in staff, we talked about that. There's some that are not necessarily pleasing or attractive, but there are some that are, when you see them, they don't have the forested buffer. I don't know, Mr. Whitehouse, you can elaborate too, but where there's, you know, split rail fences, there's the nice signage with landscaping to the development. There may be, you know, ponds or stormwater management ponds and berms and things. You know, we didn't want to eliminate the possibility of that, but we also didn't want to have somebody, you know, sort of not do either and just put up a big old fence that walls off the whole thing.
Seen that, haven't we?
Yeah.
So this gives discretion to planning and zoning.
Yeah.
Any more questions? Take the vote, Mr. Shaver.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I'll be yes. Motion carried. Next.
The next one follows right on that. We've seen situations, and the way the code was worded and the way it was introduced, it allowed for that flexibility on road frontages. But the unintended consequence of that is you could have a development that had a road frontage on the backside of it that didn't have its entrance there. And we've seen examples of that. If you have, and this clarification I'm going to get to, says that if you have a development that has frontage on a road where your entrance is not located, in that case, you do have to put the buffer, the planted vegetated buffer, or maintain the trees, whichever. You can't just wall it off with a fence like we've seen in some spots. So at line 472 of the introduced version, or 490 of the highlighted version, the motion is during the council hearing, there were photographic examples of fencing or other landscaping that was installed along a developer's road frontage where that frontage was not the same frontage where the development's entrance existed, i.e. the backside of a subdivision that shares a boundary with the road but has no entrance there. That is not the intention of this section that allows design flexibility with the commission's approval at subdivision entrances. To clarify this, add a new section sentence at the end of this section that states, quote, "this authorization shall only apply to a subdivision's roadway frontage where its entrance is located. All other roadway frontages shall comply with the requirements of sections A, B, and C above as applicable," period, close quote.
Motion, Mr. Shaver. Second, Mr. Hudson.
Second.
Any questions on a motion? Take the vote, Mr. Shaver.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next.
The next one is also something that got a lot of attention at Planning and Zoning and at County Council. Planning and Zoning realized that there needed to be a change on the timing of things, but didn't have the specific words to use or recommend. And recall there was a lot of talk about that and specific examples given. So at line 483 of the introduced ordinance and 503, the highlighted version. The motion is there was a lot of discussion about when the buffers must be installed in relation to other work going on in the subdivision. There is not a so-called drop-dead date in the current ordinance. Instead, there are limitations on moving forward in the development until prior buffers are installed. In other words, no building permits until buffers are installed in a given phase. You cannot move to the next phase until the buffers are installed in the prior phase. The current code in the definition at Part F, which is being replaced, stated, quote, the forested and or landscape buffer shall be installed within 18 months from the date site work is authorized to commence, as documented by a notice to proceed letter from the commission. Again, that's in 99-5 now. But this time frame and protection to adjacent properties is not a concern where there are existing woodlands, since 50 feet of woodlands along the property boundary cannot be disturbed. And that's what we're putting in place now. There's tree preservation within the 30 and the 20. It is only applicable when new plantings are required. Staff has suggested adding the following language to create a clear deadline for planning, for new planning adjacent to existing or approved homes. To address this, add the following sentence at line 483 of the introduced ordinance, or 503 of the highlighted ordinance, as follows, quote, the portion of any non-woodland perimeter buffer within the entirety of the development that is adjacent to other existing or approved dwellings or lots shall be planted in accordance with the requirements of section 99-21A and C within 12 months of the issuance of a notice to proceed for the first phase of the development, close quote. And that's the motion. But what that means is if there's a large subdivision tract and say the backside of it is open farmland, so there's no existing trees, and that backside butts up against the development that exists, that developer is going to have to install the perimeter buffer there within 12 months of the notice to proceed. And the idea behind that is we've seen that when there's no plantings that go until later or there's no trees, the existing property owners are faced with all the site work and everything else that's going on in that subdivision without any certainty about when the buffer would be planted. So this says, all right, notice to proceed, 12 months from that, if you're next to lots, you've got to plant it right then and there. So.
So moved. So
motion, Mr. Shaver, second. Mr. Hudson,
if
Mr.
There's, Riley. You have a five-year look back on a clear cut. Mm-hmm. So if I'm thinking about selling my property, I could clear cut it. It takes a while to go to settlement, you know, for anything to get approved. I mean, that could sit in a clear-cut state for 4 years or so, and then they'd still have 18 months to do the perimeter buffer plantings and so forth. That could be quite a while.
Well, the 5 years is going to be start from the time. Jamie, do you want to take this from the time preliminary site plan starts?
So. Correct. It's the time we're looking at the application. So on the day of the application, these documents are required to be submitted. So that's when we start reviewing it, on the day of submittal. So if an application is submitted and sits in a queue waiting for that, the five-year look back is still from the date of submittal.
So it'd be 18 months from the day of submittal?
The date of the decision, you mean when it comes through the process to a public hearing. But that comes later. But the assessment is looking back at the documents that are submitted with the application 5 years back from that date. So.
And this is a little bit different because this is, you know, so well, it's going through, setting aside, you know, the tree removal prior to application, but so take that out of the equation. If somebody applies and it's a piece of property that doesn't have existing trees along the perimeter of it, you know, it's going to stay in its current agriculture or whatever state during preliminary and through final, and there's not going to be any site work going on at that point because we wouldn't have the permits from us or SCD to do that. But once they get the notice to proceed from P&Z and engineering, at that point, any perimeter of the subdivision that's next to approved lots or existing homes, they got to go in and plant that perimeter buffer within 12 months.
Okay, so that's when the clock starts.
Yeah, that's where that clock starts. Because we want to try to protect, you know, the neighbors.
Well, at least we have a clock. I mean, at least it's...
Yeah,
you know, it's...
and we did before, but it was more a clock with respect to the development of the subdivision. You know, like you couldn't move on to the next phase until you got everything planted in the prior phase.
Right.
But it didn't really do anything to the people that surrounded the development while that site work was going on. So the idea is, you know, where there's existing properties adjacent to the development, get something planted early so they can start growing while they're doing site work throughout the development.
I might be jumping ahead a little bit, but I mean, if you're in a subdevelopment and they're going to build next to you, they can't clear the trees right up to the property line.
No, no, that's right. That's another issue because, exactly. And there's not really a change in here because that was already baked into the introduced ordinance. But if there's existing trees that are next to you, you're right, 50 feet of those existing trees
they
are going to be.
They got to not touch that.
They're not touched. They're silt fenced, ribboned, marked on the site plan, inspected, signed, and everything, you know, with signage. So.
Try to minimize the impact.
Right. Right. So, in that scenario, if you're an existing property next to the development and there's existing trees, those trees are going to remain and continue to screen you from the developments, that, the site work that's occurring. This is the situation where there's no existing trees and you're next to existing homes or subdivision lots. At that point, we're saying within 12 months of the notice to proceed, you've got to go in and affirmatively plant those in those areas.
So there would be an undisturbed 50 foot here, and then if somebody built on an adjoining parcel, the additional 50 foot, so in that scenario, there'd be 100 foot.
That's right, if there are two new ones. That's right, yeah.
That's quite a bit different than.
Right, you know, I mean, going forward, if you had two new subdivisions come forward under this and you know, within 50 feet of that common boundary line, you would have 100 feet of trees that would remain. That's right, yeah.
Any more questions? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Oh, yes, motion carried. Next.
This next one was also a Center for Inland Bays recommendation, and staff agrees with it. At line 492 to 494 of the introduced ordinance, or 516 to 517 of the highlighted version, the motion is that the developer should be required to remove and replace any dead, diseased, or dying trees within the buffer areas prior to the conclusion of the two-year guarantee period. To confirm this, add the phrase, quote, removal and replacement of any dead, dying, or diseased trees, close quote, in this sentence so that it now states, quote, the developer shall be responsible for the removal and replacement of any dead, dying, or diseased trees and for the removal from the site of all stakes, guy wires, et cetera, close quote.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer.
Second.
Mr. Hudson.
Second.
Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mr. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, motion carried. Next.
The next one was a planning and zoning recommendation that staff agrees with. Again, just taking out the HOA turnover out of the equation just because the county doesn't play a direct role in that, and it's not something that, you know, we keep track of or would necessarily know about. We may, but we wouldn't necessarily. So at lines 510 to 512 of the introduced ordinance, or 535 to 537 of the highlighted version, for consistency with other parts of the ordinance and similar existing provisions in our code, eliminate reference to the turnover to the HOA, which the county neither tracks nor has control over, by revising the language about bonding timeframes so that it now states, quote, the bonds for the perimeter buffer shall thereafter remain in place until 2 years after the determination of substantial completion in accordance with section 99-31, close quote. That just makes it clear. It's two dates. We know when substantial completion is issued. That starts the 2 years. Everybody knows what we're talking about.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer. Second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I will yes. Motion carried. Next.
Three more to go. Line 541, this is a clarification of the introduced ordinance, or 566 of the highlighted version. Just the motion is for clarity and consistency, insert, quote, perimeter buffer, close quote, after the words, quote, wet woodlands, close quote, period. And that's the motion.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer. Second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
All yes. Motion carried. Next.
The second to last one is just a wordsmithing one. Line 547 of the introduced ordinance and 572 of the highlighted version. Delete the phrase, quote, in the form of newly created woodlands, close quote. The specific requirements of the remedy following the damage or removal of trees is defined in the subsections that follow, so this phrase is not necessary. The requirements are specific in the subparts below that, so we didn't need that phrase about newly created woodlands. That's that motion.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer. Second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson. Questions on a motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I will yes. Motion carried. Next.
And the last one. This came up, I think, during planning and zoning and also during county council, where we wanted confirmation, or the public, and I think staff and you all wanted confirmation that it applied not only to subdivisions, but to RPCs, the residential parts of RPCs, and conditional uses that were residential, and the residential portion of a C4 development. In the prior ordinance, it was discretionary. This makes it mandatory and clarifies that it's in all those spots. So in lines 879 through 885 of the introduced ordinance, and lines 904 to 913 of the highlighted version. Again, there were questions and comments. The motion is there were questions and comments during the council hearing about whether the buffer requirements apply to residential conditional uses or developments in the C4 zoning district. This is currently addressed in the code in section 115-218. However, it is currently only discretionary if conditioned as part of the approval of such a development. This should instead be a mandatory requirement. So at line 879 of the introduced ordinance and line 904 of the highlighted version, delete this entire sentence so that it is clear that compliance with the buffer requirements are mandatory, and insert a new sentence in its place so that it now states, quote, E, period, any conditional use for attached or detached single-family or multifamily dwellings or residential planning community or the permitted residential portion of a development in any zoning district shall comply with the requirements of section 99-21, period A, close quote.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer. Second, Mr. Hudson. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I'll be yes. Motion carried.
One thing on that, too, that also applies, since we left it broad, the residential portion of the development within any zoning district, that would now also apply to residential development in the C1 district. So if somebody came in for a multifamily site plan in C1 now, because you can get up to 12 units an acre for that, they would have to comply with it as well. So I will tell you on behalf of staff and the Planning and Zoning Commission, certainly Mr. Whitehouse and Mr. Lawson, we've all been involved in this. And with input from the public, you know, there was a lot of work that went into this. I think we got a lot of good feedback from you all, certainly with all the different workshops we've had along the way and conversations and presentations and the public hearing. So, you know, this is a lengthy ordinance with, I don't know, something like 800 lines, 900 lines. A lot went into it, and we appreciate your thoughtfulness to get us to where we are and your patience today with 27 different motions. Maybe a record, but I think they're all good ones, and we've got a pretty good end product to go forward with. So.
Well, thank you for giving us a condensed version.
Can I? Sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I just want to clarify a couple of things, point mm-hmm. out. That the ordinance stipulates that there is a $10,000 fine for per quarter acre. So just this thing has some teeth.
It has some teeth, and we pulled that not out of thin air, but that was the same penalty language that was in the resource buffer ordinance that we spent a lot of time on as well, because we wanted teeth in that, just like we wanted teeth in this. So and there's, I mean, there's a couple different ways. I mean, there's replanting requirements, you know, double the density if you go in and remove things. So there's a couple different ways that there's some teeth on this one.
Right, that
so.
They could avoid the fine and do it in, a, you know, yeah. make amends other ways,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
The other thing is it takes effect in 6 months from the
yes, let me just, yep.
It would be approved?
Yes, and the reason we've kind of done that consistently in these types of ordinances, because we know that there's plans in the pipeline that maybe have gone through PLUS or TAC review, and the consensus is that 6 months is not too long where people can avoid it, but it also kind of fairly treats things that have been in the pipeline. And I will say, you know, there's always the concern that people will try to jump the gun on this, you know, get something in under the wire, sort of like we hear that frequently. In my experience, I don't know, Mr. Whitehouse, that maybe happens a little bit, but there's not any, you know, groundswell of applications typically to... The application process is too complicated anymore, you know, just with the design requirements and all the reviews that happen to really, you know, to do that. So
I almost wish we could make it retroactive, because I do think this is going to make things much more attractive and really be a benefit to the residents.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree. And, you know, we've said it all along, too. We were, as a county, we're also cognizant of improving the design of these subdivisions or RPCs or what have you, but also knowing that this additional perimeter buffer still counts as open space. It always did and it always will. So, you know, on balance, we went through this exercise along the way just to make sure that, you know, this wasn't a backdoor way of affecting density or, you know, right. people's value in their property or whatever else. It really just changes how you approach the design of a subdivision, you know, not the net result of it. So. So with that, I need to read the short title again.
Yes, you do.
So with the as amended on the end. So this is an ordinance to amend Chapter 99, Articles 1, 3, 4, 5, and 6, Sections 99-5, 99-6, 99-23, 99-26, 99-27, 99-30, 99-31, and 99-32, and by adding a new section 99-21A and Chapter 115, Articles 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 28, Sections 115-20, 115-25, 115-29, 115-37, 115-45, 115-53, and 115-218 regarding perimeter buffers around residential development as amended.
Pleasure, Council.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer, second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson. Questions on a motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer.
I am going to thank the staff for all their time and Mr. Vincent for all his efforts. This is a great move forward in the development design process in Sussex County, Delaware. And I look forward to working on future ordinances to prevent further sprawl, and particularly in the third district, and enhance our design standards. And I, again, thank you all, and I vote yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yeah, I too want to thank you for the good work you did here, the long hours and everything that went into it. And it did come from the public, was where this came from. And they came to us time and time again. And so I'm grateful that we were able to act on it. You did a great job. I'm grateful for that. And I vote yes.
Mr. Hudson.
As far as yes.
Of course.
Thinking it over.
I had a bunch of stuff going through my head, but I'll leave it alone. I don't want to.
You're good. Okay. Mr. Riley? Things.
Yeah, I was glad that was a short title, you know? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, sometimes I get frustrated and feel like we move at the speed of government around here, but we do. And but we're landing this one today, and, you know, thanks. Great job, and look forward to it's gonna, I think it's going to be a real improvement. And I think that's going to help the quality of life, property values, long-term, just going to be better. So, thanks. I vote yes.
Certainly want to thank you for the short version and the condensed version of all the changes. We thank you for those.
Welcome, I think.
And thank you and staff and certainly Mr. Whitehouse and Mr. Lawson for all your hard work putting together. I think it's certainly a good product. I think this council is appreciative of all the hard work, and the public, I think, got a good change here. So it's all good to everybody, I think. I'll vote yes, motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Onwards and upwards. Huh?
That's it.
Thank you.
Grant request. Where's Mrs. Ryder, Mayor? Here she is. Here comes the grant lady.
Good morning.
Mr. President of the Council, I need
to request a day for you.
Oh, push the button down on the
wall. I turned it off.
There you go.
Sorry about
Thank
that.
You. No, you're good.
Okay. We have four grant requests for today. The first one is from the town of Greenwood. The request is for $1,000 for their Greenwood Day 2024. The last grant received for this organization was in the amount of $6,000 for their downtown revitalization. Mrs. Green placed this on the agenda.
Mrs. Green.
I will donate $1,000 to the town of Greenwood for their Greenwood Day event.
Motion, Mrs. Green, second.
A second.
Mr. Hudson, to grant $1,000 from District 2 Councilmatic account to the town of Greenwood for their 2024 Greenwood Day event. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson? Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I'll be at motion carry. Next.
Okay, the second one is Unique Minds Changing Lives, Inc. They are requesting $5,000 for their Lewis Community Support Center. There is no previous grants for this organization. Mr. Schaefer placed this on the agenda.
I'll offer $500 from the third district.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer, second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson, grant $500 from District 3 Council Mac account to the Unique Minds Changing Lives Incorporated for their Community Support Center. Questions on the motion? Take the vote. Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I will yield. Motion carried. Next.
Third one, Boy Scouts of America Delmarva Council. They are requesting $5,000 for their 2024 Distinguished Citizen Award event. The last grant was received for this event was in the amount of $5,000. Mr. Vincent placed it on the agenda.
And it came from the countywide youth grant.
Countywide,
right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Entertained motion, Mr. Schaefer, second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson, to grant $5,000 to the Boy Scouts of America Delmarva Council for the Sussex County 2024 Distinguished Citizen Award event from the countywide youth grant category. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next.
Okay, the fourth one is Ocean Waves Quilt Guild. They're requesting $5,458 for their Quilts of Valor program. The last grant received for this organization was in the amount of $500. Mr. Schaefer placed it on the agenda.
Mr. Schaefer.
We'll offer $500 from the 3rd District of Kent.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer. Second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson to grant $500 from District 3 Council Mag account to the Ocean Waves Quilt Guild for their Quilts of Valor program. Questions on a motion? Take a vote. Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank
okay,
you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you. Introduction and proposing ordinances. Mr. Robertson.
Thank you, Mr. President. There are five this afternoon. The first one is in Mr. Riley's district. It's tax ID number 233-13.001.04. The address is 32605 Millsboro Highway, Millsboro. It is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for an amendment of condition C contained within conditional use number 2414, which is ordinance number 3031 regarding the allowance of maintenance repair on company equipment vehicles and the inclusion of fuel tanks to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Dasborough 100, Sussex County, containing 4.72 acres, more or less.
I'll introduce
it. Raleigh introduces it.
The next one is in Mr. Vincent's district. It's tax ID number 332-1.0067.03, and there is no 911 address. It is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a B2 business community district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Little Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 4.86 acres, more or less.
I'll introduce it.
The next one is in Ms. Green's district. It's tax ID number 130-3.00170.04. Again, no 911 address. It is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an MR medium residential district to an AR1 agricultural residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 1.53 acres, more or less.
I will introduce it.
Mrs. Green introduces it.
The fourth one is in Mr. Hudson's district. It's tax ID number 134-11.00219.03. The 911 address is 32379 Powell Farm Road, Frankfort. It is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a nail salon business to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 0.55 acres, more or less.
I'll introduce it.
Mr. Hudson, introduce it.
And the final one is also Mr. Hudson's district. It's tax ID numbers 533-11.00103 and 533-11.00104.00. The 911 address is 37051 Johnson Road, Selbyville, and it is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a restaurant and farmer's market to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 71.3 acres, more or less.
I'll introduce it.
Mr. Hudson introduced it.
And that's all.
Thank you, sir. Council member comments. Any council member comments? Entertaining a motion to go to executive session for land acquisition and pending and potential litigation.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer. Second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes. We're now in executive session downstairs for land acquisition and pending.